Amen. 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 And I'm going to read verse 1 of chapter 10 in 1 Samuel 10. And two of my favorite Old Testament books in the Bible are the book of Genesis and 1 and 2 Samuel. So I find myself in 1 Samuel a lot. And I'm so grateful for all of the truths that God keeps unfolding. You just never get to the bottom. It's always deeper. So beginning in verse 1, we read, and then I'm going to read 6 and 7. Then Samuel took a flask of oil, and he poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?" Now drop down to verse 6. Amen, amen, amen. I may have to start in verse 5. There we go. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man," a new heart. I have to clarify that. "And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you." For God is with you. Let us pray. Father God, in the powerful name of Jesus, we're grateful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is individually knocking at the door of our heart that we might commune, but collectively we can all fellowship under the authority and the move of the Spirit. Move by your Spirit right now. Touch every heart. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to his church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Most of you know this artist as one of the most influential influencers of gospel music in the last 50 years. Churches all over the world sing his music and have purchased music that has been written by him. This man is a former pastor, gifted composer, keyboardist, Oscar nominated for the original music arrangement for the films The Color Purple and the Disney's Lion King, as well as the NBC television series Amen. Awards and honors received by him include 7 Grammy Awards, an introduction into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 1998, and he has his own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. At the age of 11, he taught himself to play the piano. His father was a pastor, took him to church, and said, "Play," and he started playing. And that was at the age of 11, and he wrote his first song when he turned 14 years of age. As a young boy, he witnessed a person attempting to kidnap his sister. And when he observed the man pick his sister up off the ground and begin to run with her, he screamed in a loud voice, and the volume was so boisterous that Sandra's parents heard the cry and they were able to come and rescue their daughter out of the hands of a would-be kidnapper. After that traumatic experience, this young man was not able to speak fluently. He developed a stutter, a lisp. And so no matter what he tried to do to rid himself of this impairment, whenever he would speak, he would stutter. And so his parents noticed that whenever he sung, he didn't stutter. So his father said, "When someone asks you to speak, just answer by singing." And so you would say hello and he would sing. And through that experience of singing and answering to overcome his stutter, he was introduced into the world of soloists. So he started singing as a result of what could have been a lifetime impairment. Both Andre Crouch, both of his parents, I'm talking about Andre Crouch, died 1 year after the other of rare forms of cancer. And he himself had four different types of cancer that he miraculously overcame, but through multiple surgeries, his body was disfigured. And when I saw him, I didn't recognize him. If you see Andre Crouch at the as he's nearing the end of his life, I really didn't know what was the reason he looked so different. He had multiple surgeries, suffered from very severe diabetes, congestive heart failure, pneumonia, and in spite of all of those things that attacked his body, when he put his hands on a piano, arthritis, hands, fingers swollen, something happened. What happened was Andre Crouch had what we call the anointing of God on his hands. And the anointing, in spite of his physical and medical challenges, never left him. He continued to perform in concerts and travel the world. The song that the Winans, one of the Winans sing, Let the Church Say Amen, that was one of the last songs that Andre Crouch wrote with arthritic hands, congestive heart failure, and pneumonia. And I'm looking at this, I said, don't tell me what the anointing of God can't do. Don't tell me what the Spirit of God, who is in control of us, can't do through us. Somebody say amen. Amen. God's anointing can accomplish great things, even when we are limited by physical illness and other impairments. Now, throughout the scriptures, the Bible speaks about the anointing of God, the anointing of God. In the Old Testament, the anointing accompanying a divine assignment. Whenever God would call you to a special work, a spiritual leader would be given the assignment of taking a flask of oil, and then they would approach the individual who often did not know that they had been selected by God, because when God chooses you for something, it's usually not because you volunteered. The people that are volunteering, sometimes you have to be a little leery. And so they would approach the individual and say, God has called you, and he is sending me to anoint you. And so this flask of oil would be poured over the candidate's head, and it would run down from the shoulder, from the face to the shoulders, and ultimately symbolically covering the entire body, which was supposed to represent the presence, because the Holy Spirit is described in the Bible as oil, the presence of God was coming upon over that person, but also with the presence of God, the Holy Spirit coming upon the individual was accompanying power that would enable you, if you were the anointed person, to perform, to complete the assignment. There's never an assignment that God will give you that he hasn't anointed you to do. The anointing of God comes with the task. Now, the New Testament equivalent of Holy Spirit anointing in the Old Testament through the oil being poured over is, a good passage would be 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, where it talks about the divine nature indwelling. It says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that we need to accomplish the will of God has been deposited into us by the abiding, the indwelling, the residency of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you are the temple of God, you are the house of God, and his Spirit indwells, abides, resides in you. And so he says that the presence of the Holy Spirit enables us to do every and all that pertains to accomplishing God's will for our life. So if you're a Christian, you have the anointing of God on you. Amen. You have the anointing, the power and the presence of God. Now think about that. This same power that is living in you is the power that brought Jesus back from the dead. So you have living in you as a believer resurrection power. Don't tell me what the anointing of God cannot do. Somebody say amen. 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 So now what are some differences? What differences about what is different about the anointing in the Old Testament and the New Testament? Well, there are at least four things. One, in the Old Testament, the anointing, the filling, the coming under the authority and the control of the Holy Spirit was selective. Everybody didn't have the anointing. That's why it was impossible to keep the law, because the law required righteousness. The law required perfection, but it didn't give you the Holy Spirit to help you to be perfect. So they had to, institute an animal sacrificial system, but we're not talking about that today. So it was selective, while in the indwelling, that is the abiding Holy Spirit that lives in Christians, that fills us. Indwelling and filling are not the same. Every Christian is indwelled, but not all Christians are filled. Every Christian is permanently baptized, that is, identified with Christ once and for all, but not every Christian is yielded, directed, being led by the Holy Spirit. Because when we are led, directed, and filled, we are at the same time under the control. So filling was selective in the Old Testament. Filling and indwelling for the New Testament, every Christian, is universal. Every Christian, the Bible says in John chapter 4, God does not give his spirit in measure. So I'm the pastor, but I don't have any more Holy Spirit than you. And you don't have no more than me. So you don't have any excuse. If I was a pastor, I could. No, no. You got the Holy Spirit, so you can. Somebody say, yes, I can. I can do what? I can do all things through Christ. Who what? All right, yes, yes, yes. We're on the same page here. It was also external. The pouring of the oil was from the outside, was symbolic of what would transpire on the inside. So you could look and see the oil being poured, but so that was an evidence to whoever was watching that the power and the presence was coming over the individual, but it started from the outside in. But in the New Testament, this is not external, but it is internal. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he says not by works of righteousness which we have done, but we have been saved by the washing and the renewing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have been made alive inwardly by the Holy Spirit. And so our anointing, our indwelling starts from the inside. Somebody say inside out. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle John in chapter 2, verse 27, he says, but the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, dwells in you, resides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. And it don't say, oh, you don't have no, no, no. The ultimate teacher today is the Holy Spirit. I'm just an instrument. Amen, amen, amen. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So on the one hand, the anointing abides in us. He lives in us. He indwells us. But he says we got a responsibility. We must abide in the anointing that we have. That you, we must yield to the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Moving on. Amen. Somebody say amen. Then the third thing that's different is that the anointing in the Old Testament was temporal. That's why David said, take not thy spirit from me. That's why when Samson jumped up, when he heard that the Philistines were upon him after he got out of the lap of Delilah and she had cut his hair, the Bible said he did not know that the Spirit of God was no longer with him. So you're in the Old Testament and you were walking in sin, just as quickly as God anointed you with his power and presence of the Holy Spirit, he could take it back. But in the New Testament, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So the indwelling Holy Spirit is permanent. God will not take salvation back. God will not take his presence and power back. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad? So what kind of people does God anoint? Well, we see in chapter 10 of Samuel says, then Samuel, the prophet, took a flask of oil and he poured it on the head and he kissed and poured it on his head. He poured the oil on the head of a young man named Saul. What we want to discover is that God anoints all believers to accomplish his work. All kinds of folks who belong to him. If you belong to him, you are anointed. You are anointed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, the scripture says, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. Say, anointed us. And who has also put his seal on us and given us the Spirit, his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And so every Christian is anointed. Let me just make it clear. In the New Testament, being anointed simply means that the Spirit of God is living in you. And he wants to work through you as we yield. When we yield, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are under control of the Holy Spirit. You have the anointing of God if you're saved. If you're saved. Somebody say amen. We're moving right along. So Saul, who God directed the prophet Samuel to anoint, had many external strengths. He came from a very, very strong family. His father, the Bible says, was a mighty man of valor. He was a military, distinguished warrior. Everybody knew Saul's dad. He came from financial affluence. He had a lot of money. Saul was physically, the Bible says he was a head length above, taller than everybody else. So when Saul walked into the room, he was someone that you would not know. You know how it is when I walk into the room. I say, oh man, this guy's so tall. Not only was he tall, wealthy, and from a five generations of Benjamite strong men, he was handsome. He was good looking, you know. I always say that to the folks that I visit at hospital. I say, see this picture? See this handsome guy? I say, you'll never forget this face. And they say, we sure won't forget this face. So, externally, Saul would have been the person that you would have chosen, I would have chosen, to most likely succeed. Because of how he looked on the outside. But we understand from the Word of God that man looks at the, what, outward appearance, but God what? God searches our heart. So Saul externally had it going on, but internally he was messed up from the neck up. Saul had a terrible self-image, struggled with terrible bouts of insecurity, of rage, jealousy. He was suspicious. You remember? He was jealous of David. He wanted to have David killed, and he sought David, and David had never done anything to Saul. It was all in between his ears. I know David wants my throne. I know David wants to be in charge. And so from that, the day that Saul got that thought in his mind in 1 Samuel chapter 18, he was filled with insecurity And it really impacted him, because when Samuel the prophet said, God, has not the Lord anointed you? He said, not me. I'm from the least of the 12 tribes. And his tribe was the smallest. He says, in fact, even after he was anointed, and we're going to see some other things that happened to Saul, the Bible says when they looked for Saul to present him before the nation of Israel, they couldn't find him. He hid among the stuff. That's a good Hebrew word for bags. He hid from the call of God. And one of the things that will happen when we are called by God, if we're responding in humility, you're going to feel inadequate. You may be like Saul, hiding among the bags. You may give the impression externally that everything's fine. that you really have, you have it going on, but internally, what's going on between your ears? And so Saul was wrecked from the neck up. He was nowhere to be found. What has God called you to do? What might you be running from? What do you find yourself facing no matter where you go? The same message that you thought you fled and escaped, you hear from some other circumstance or some other source. I want you to know that God has a plan and a call on for all of our lives. And we may feel like Saul did, even though we had externally all of the advantages, that doesn't mean that we will have, as Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, you ought to think soberly of yourselves. Not more highly, but soberly. Saul did not think soberly of himself. And being sober in our thinking of ourselves means that you evaluate, you assess yourself from the vantage point of how God sees you. It's a spirit that said, but for the grace of God, I am that I am because of his grace. So when I see myself the way that I should, I'm going to see myself according to the grace of God that has made me who I am. Now, God didn't withhold his anointing from Saul despite his lack of confidence and character issues. He had some character issues. Nor did he withhold his anointing from Jeremiah. You remember in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, God called Jeremiah. He was only a child. He wasn't like 8 years old. And Jeremiah said, well, I'm but a youth and I can't preach and I don't know anything about ministry. He said, surely I will be with you. He said, did I not know what I had in plan for you even before you were formed in your mother's womb? I want you to know that the plan of God, the purposes of God, didn't start when you got your college degree, didn't start when you were born into your family. But in eternity past, God determined what your purpose and his plan for you was. And the only reason you exist today is because you are part of the puzzle that God had already fathomed in his own mind. And then he allowed you and me to walk into opportunities that have prepared you. Everything that you, like Joseph said, has not God sent me before you to save a nation? You end up somewhere, you don't even know why you're there, but God was working all things together for the good so that he would accomplish through you his purpose. And so he said, Jeremiah, surely I will be with you. When you open up your mouth, I will speak through you and I will keep guard over your mouth. And what I say, it shall come to pass. So he chose Jeremiah when he was a child. The anointing of God came upon an 8-year-old child. Moses was an 80-year-old fugitive from justice. And the Bible says that the Lord Jehovah appeared to him in the form of a burning bush in the wilderness, and he spoke and he says, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you're walking on is holy ground. And Moses took off his shoes and he says, who are you? And God spoke and told him who he was. But then he says, I heard the cry of my people, and I could hear Moses say, amen. They've been suffering for a long time. Amen. And it's time for it to stop. Amen. And it's not going to keep going on. Amen. And then God said, I'm sending you. And then Moses says, but I tried that before. I got charges up against me. I got people that are trying to catch me. If I go back, so Lord, you must be talking about somebody else. I don't have public speaking skills. And again, the Lord says, surely I will be with you. Surely I will give you what to say. And so God will choose the Moses' world. Your age, oh, I'm too old. I had my chance. No, you're still here. You're still breathing. God's anointing is still on you to accomplish his will. God used the prophet Isaiah, who had a foul mouth, a preacher with a foul mouth, to receive his calling. And he said he was in the presence of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw the angels, and they were singing, holy, holy, holy. And then he looked around and said, they belong here. The robe and the train belongs here, and he's sitting on the throne, but what in the world am I doing here? He said, woe is me. I'm about to die up in here. I'm a man. Here's where God can help us. He acknowledged. He said, I am a man. I am a Christian. I'm a believer who cussed. I'm a believer who has a foul mouth. I'm a believer who's guilty of gossiping. I'm a believer who's guilty of spreading rumors and scandal. And Lord, I got an unclean mouth. And the Bible says that God discharged the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who was sitting on the throne, dispatched an angel to take a coal from the altar and to anoint the lips of the prophet Isaiah. I want you to know, when God calls you, he will anoint you. He will give you his presence, but he will also purify you. He will purify you. So he chose a foul-mouthed preacher, a lying sister. The angel of the Lord in Genesis chapter 18 was telling Abraham, by about this time next year, you and your wife, you'll be 100, she'll be 90, and you guys are going to have a baby. And when Sarah heard that, the Bible says she laughed. Let me read that. That's in Genesis chapter 18. So Sarah laughed to herself, and she thought, she laughed internally. After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, the angel of the Lord said to him, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for God? I will return to you at an appointed time this next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she what? She laughed. Did you laugh? Nah, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh. So here's the interest. She didn't laugh out overtly. She laughed inwardly. But the Lord knew that she was mocking or doubting what he could do. God will use a liar and anoint them and change them through what he will do through them. About a year later, Sarah wasn't lying. She was shouting. In fact, she named her son Isaac, which means to laugh. Somebody say amen. God used Paul, who hated and hunted down Christians, and he anointed him to proclaim the gospel. Saul was the worst possible choice that God could actually use. And so the question becomes, what makes us sufficient? What makes us adequate? How can we serve God? How are any of us qualified? None of us are, but Paul says our sufficiency doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from your church experience. It doesn't come from who you associate with. It doesn't come because you have titles or degrees. Our sufficiency comes from the Lord. He makes you and I adequate. He is the one who makes us adequate for his service. The anointing came upon Paul, greatest preacher and church evangelist and establisher of New Testament churches. That was the Apostle Paul. Who does God anoint? He'll anoint anybody that he wants to use for his service. That includes you. That includes you. I wonder if you can see yourself from the perspective of Saul. I'm not adequate. Can you see yourself from the perspective of, you may not have never, sir, been a fugitive of justice, but thank God you didn't get caught for all the stuff that you did do. Amen. And still do. Somebody say, I still do stuff. Amen, amen, amen. Some of us do worse stuff than others. Amen, 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 amen. One of my favorite cartoons growing up was Popeye and Olive Oil. I didn't realize that cartoon originally, its first song was in 1929. I wasn't alive then. I wasn't alive. And Popeye had this thing for Olive Oil. You know what she was. She was a bag of bones. But he, man, when he saw her, his eyes just went, he went cuckoo for olive oil. But there was this, he had a competitor named Brutus. And you know what Brutus used to do, Popeye? Oh, my goodness. He would beat Popeye near to his death. And finally, somehow, Popeye had a secret weapon. What was it called? Spinach! Now, if he could get the spinach from the outside, on the inside, all of a sudden Popeye had superhuman strength, And Brutus wasn't a problem. I want you to understand, when the anointing of God comes upon you from the outside and works through you through the inside, there is nothing that will be impossible through and in you when you are yielded to the control of the Spirit of God. God can anoint any of us, and he has, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful. Don't tell me what the anointing of God can do. Hallelujah. I stand before you as a testimony of the anointing of God. There's no reason I should be in front of you today if it had not been for his anointing that has come upon me. I would not be, and still am not, but for the anointing, but for his anointing. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God. Thank God for his anointing. His anointing. Somebody say, thank God for. Yes. Now, why do we need God's anointing? I'm going to go through some things that will help us, because I don't believe that enough of us depend on the Holy Spirit throughout our daily life experience. We wait to come to church to feel the Spirit. Oh, I didn't feel the Spirit today. What do you mean you didn't feel the Spirit? That ain't our problem. That's a personal issue. Because Jesus, I'm standing at the door, and now I want to come in. He said, if you abide in me and my words, if you are by, the only way you abide is that you have to have an encounter with the anointing of the Spirit of God who is dwelling in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask, something happens when the anointing. Oh, let me just keep on going. Hallelujah. Why do we need the indwelling and the filling, the anointing of the Holy Spirit? In order, first of all, we need the anointing of God to effectively fulfill our assignment. Saul needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit to effectively lead the nation of Israel. Saul understood to a fault his own weaknesses, and we do need to understand that in the flesh, in our flesh, we cannot please God. We cannot please God. We need to know what the works of the flesh are, because sometimes flesh will dress up as religion. It will look like a form of godliness, but it will deny the power of godliness. Somebody say, amen. And so we need to be very careful that we don't become experts in Christianese, that we know, ain't he all right? He's all right. God is good. All the time, God is good. I'm blessed. Blessed by the best. He's going to go through a whole series of slogans. But when I'm talking to effectively accomplish God's assignment for you today, you need the anointing of God. Here's a second reason: to escape temptation. Anybody ever struggle with temptation? I told you about my drawer, right? God, I'm saved from my drawer. I'm delivered. I will escape temptation. I went to my drawer the other night, a little later than I normally go, pulled out the Snickers, pulled out the baked chips, because they don't have as much salt, but I'm convincing myself. I got a half a box of Dots. I didn't eat the whole box. Then my old body said, lay down. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. It wasn't around about midnight. You know, Paul and Silas got to singing. Around about 3:30 in the morning. What should not be coming up started to come up. And I promised the Lord that morning, I said, Lord, I'm delivered. What I went through that morning, because of me, I'm cleaning out the drawer. I'm cleaning out the drawer. Somebody say amen. It will help you to escape temptation. The Bible says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the flesh and the Spirit are contrary one to another. So there's a battle going on, the Spirit of God against the spirit of our flesh. But if I'm controlled, if I'm under the anointing, I will not yield to my sniggers. They're all gone now. I had some help. And it wasn't the Holy Ghost. But when you ask people what happened to them, they act like that it was a ghost. We need the Holy Spirit for evangelism. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has what? Come anointed you, and you shall be what? My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost. So we need the anointing, the control of the Holy Spirit to tell others about Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. To enter into God's presence through praise and worship, you need the anointing of God. Sometimes God is not a gentleman. You come into church all cute, got your hair all done, just got your nails done and got your new hairdo, and like the sister was saying, and the Holy Ghost will just knock you down. You see this when Saul sent men to kill David, and they entered into the presence of the prophets. The next thing you know, the Holy Spirit just took over them, and they were prophesying. They came to kill, but God said, let me show you what I can do with my power. But it don't normally work like that. God is not going to ask you, can I come upon you? Can I feel you? Sometimes God will put you flat on your face. Oh, there have been times I've been stretched out on the altar, and I didn't intend to be there. And an hour later, when I got up, it seemed like I just laid down. And I want you to understand, in his presence, there is joy. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to depart from his presence. I could have laid there all night. John said, he was on the island of Patmos on the Lord's day, and he said, I was in the Spirit. And so when we want to praise and worship God, we need to come under the anointing and the control. That's why praise and worship is not about you. It's about him. We got to get out the way and let the Spirit of God work through us. And before you know it, you'll find yourself lifting up holy hands. You'll find yourself wringing your hands. You'll find the Bible says that, in fact, what's interesting about this, it's actually a command that it should be men who are leading in the example of praise. You don't believe that? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and he said, men lifting up holy hands. I want you to know there's something powerful about men praising God. It's something different when brothers get to walk in, and brothers get to step in, and brothers get to raise in their hand. There's something different. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I'm going to make these, when we move to our new church, we're going to have eagle seats. Yeah, 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 yeah. And brothers walk into that atmosphere. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Do you know there were 250,000 people at the NFL draft in Detroit? I don't even know if they had that many people in the city of Detroit. But that tells you what matters to us. We won't let anything stop us. We didn't care about no rain. We didn't care about what it costs to get on the plane. People from all over the country. When the Spirit of God comes upon you and you can enter into his presence through praise and worship, that is when you know that you are under the anointing. Here's another thing. It helps us to enter into his presence. It also equips you for spiritual warfare. When you get a chance to look at Ephesians chapter 6, he said, and finally, he said, be strong in the strength and the energy. Same three Greek words, strength, energy, and power. That's what he says after he talks about the doctrine and then the duties. He said, finally. Everything that I've told you about what you have, the riches that you have in Christ, and the responsibilities that we have in Christ, There is an enemy called Satan, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, and rulers. So he says, finally, be strong in the power and the strength of the Lord. And then he talks about the weapons of our warfare. But here's what he said. Here's how we equip for, he said, and pray in the spirit on all occasions. And so in order to put the armor on, you got to pray under the anointing, under the control of the Spirit of God. When you pray, you need to be, that's why we shouldn't be worrying about who's in the circle, who's listening to me. I want the Spirit to be working through me. So I can activate the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. So the Spirit through prayer. When I am involved in spiritual warfare, I will be equipped and effective when I'm praying in the Spirit. Sometimes you just need to take time until you get through all your stuff to get to God. That means sometimes the first part of our prayer was just to the ceiling. But when you get serious about God and you really want to be heard, what will happen is his Spirit living in you will connect with the Holy Spirit, who is omnipresent, and will connect. And the Bible says the Spirit himself, the Bible says, when we know not what we should pray for as we are, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And because the Holy Spirit, he knows the mind of God. And because he knows the mind of God, the devil don't want you praying in the Spirit, because when you pray in the Spirit to the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, that's when he says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, nor has it. Oh, God will begin to show you stuff and make you feel things in your heart and open doors that have never been opened before. Somebody say amen. Edifying the church through your spiritual gifts. The purpose of your gifts, the anointing that God gives you with your gifts to serve, is to build up the body of Christ. If you're here and you're just a spectator, you're in sin. We have been saved to serve. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, that you would bear fruit and bear fruit that remains, so that you can ask. God wants, he has gifted you to serve. Somebody say amen. And we're almost done. Here's the one I like. To exercise supernatural authority over every demonic stronghold that seeks to block the purposes of God. Every demonic stronghold. When Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, he said, I'm going to give you some keys. I'm going to give you authority over every demonic, over the spirit realm and the physical realm. You will cast out demons. You will speak to those who are sick and they will be healed. How does that happen? The anointing of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. I pray for people and I say, the Lord's will be done. I've also prayed, Lord, heal them and they will be healed. And I knew they would, because at that time there was such a connection. He said, for we have this confidence that if we pray anything according to his will, he will do it. God will reveal his will if we commit our ways to him. Amen. Somebody say, I can exercise spiritual and supernatural authority. There's some demonic spirits that are going to come against our church. We have to recognize what spirits we're dealing with. And we have to walk in the authority of the anointing of God and rebuke spirits that cause division. Rebuke spirits that cause doubt. Rebuke spirits that bring depression. Rebuke spirits that would delay you from walking in the call of God for your life. What is God calling you to do that you say, I'll do it tomorrow? Here's the thing, too. Here's another thing. Excel in your personal relationships. When you are anointed by the Spirit, you will have a better marriage. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit so that you can submit one to another. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. So if I'm controlled and yielded to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then wives, you will be able to obey and respect your husband. Well, I got to obey him. I work just like him. In fact, I got more education than him. I make the money up in here. That's the mindset of the world. But God said, as unto the Lord. And husbands, you'll be able to come under subjection to your wife by loving her as Christ loved the church. You will excel in your relationships under the anointing. Children will be able to obey their parents as unto the Lord, for this is right. When you are controlled by the Spirit of God, when you are in your flesh, you will be rebellious. We can talk to one another about God and not about each other, and then pray over it. Hallelujah. Let's run on. We're going to finish. How can you activate the anointing of God in your life? How do you activate it? The prophet Samuel said, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. New heart. Once these signs are fulfilled, once you have the signs fulfilled, you will be able to do the assignment when the Spirit of God comes over here. So the first thing, allow God's word to give you direction about your assignment. The prophet Samuel said, this is what you will do. The preacher was the mouthpiece for God. So Saul, before he could do anything, he had to hear from God. So before you start your new assignment, or before you determine what you're supposed to do, you need to hear, allow the word of God to direct you. Just got a phone call, y'all, on my tablet. Hallelujah. Allow the Spirit of God to direct you. Also, act immediately when you hear from God and refuse to quit until you're done. He said, listen to what he said, when you leave today, how long have you been postponing doing what God has called you to do? Today, when you know what God has told you to do, don't wait until tomorrow. He said today, and he says, when these things have happened, then you can start your assignment. So don't stop operating actively immediately until you finished. Some of us are great at starting, but we don't finish nothing. Is that going to be your life testimony? Is that going to be on your epitaph on your tombstone? I started a lot, but finished nothing. I mean, if somebody was actually honest about your life, would that be accurate? I started a lot of things, but I finished nothing. He said, leave today, and when you are finished, do what is necessary to do, because the assignment. So here's the third thing. Expect God to keep his promise. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. God will do his part. And finally, allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. The Bible says, as he was leaving Samuel, God changed his heart. Watch this. Allowing the Spirit to have his way means that it will start from the inside out. God gave Saul the capacity to walk in obedience to his word. He changed his character. He replaced cowardice with confidence. God will give you the confidence you need. God will give you the boldness you need for every circumstance. And he said, when he got to the camp of the prophets, Saul, who was not a prophet, started prophesying. So what happens when God works on the inside by changing you through the Holy Spirit, he will evidence the change externally by the gifts that he gives you. You will have gifts that came from him that you didn't have until you met him. And then when you have the gift, what happens? The people say, is he amongst the prophets? There are going to be people who see you. Are you a preacher? Are you a deacon? Are you a teacher? Are you a counselor? You don't even have to be going around talking about, you know, what you are and who you are. God will show people, because the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we belong to him. But you got to allow the work of the Holy Spirit to have his way in you. One of my favorite characters that I most identify with in the Bible is Peter. Impulsive, emotional, impetuous, put his foot in his mouth. Oh Lord, they may deny you, but I'll never deny you. Jesus said, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Oh no, I won't. Well, I guess he was just stroking that little, his little piece in the side, you know, his little weapon. He said, no, you don't know how I rove, Jesus. You know, I've been with you for 3 years, but I'm still packing. So when Jesus was betrayed and the soldiers came to get Christ, Peter, the first thing he did, he pulled out his piece. And he didn't say, let me pray for you. He said, let me slice your ear. I mean, before the dude could even think, he had sliced off his ear. And then Jesus reached down and picked up his ear. Now, I know Peter's like, wait a minute. I don't know no fighting like this. He picked up the man's ear, and he put it back on. He said, those who live by the sword will perish by the sword. It gets worse for Peter. He goes down. We remember the worst part. He goes down where Jesus is being tried. But this is what caught me. This is what caught me. He's at the fire warming his hands. And he's already been asked twice, do you know Jesus? And he lied. And then the third person says, I know you know him because your speech, you talk like him. The anointing. This dude was a cusser. He was a hell raiser. But even in his worst moment, the Lord exposed his relationship with Christ. Your speech tells me you've been with him. Then he went back to cussing. When you belong to the Lord and the anointing is over you, there's going to be a difference. People are going to see you don't talk the way you talk. You don't look the way you look. You don't respond to situations. In the past, you'd be throwing blows. In the past, you'd be cussing folk out. In the past, I'm just quitting this job. I'm leaving this marriage. I don't have to take this. But under the anointing of God, you can love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you and bless people. I'm talking about folk who curse you to your face. You can bless them. Because the anointing can do what God can do. Don't tell me what the anointing of God can't do when we yield. Are you prepared to yield to the control and the power of the Holy Spirit? Let us pray. Father God, we love you. Father, we can't make it without you. Oh, I'm so glad for the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Oh God, I thank you for conviction. I thank you that you move us beyond conviction. You correct us that we might be changed. And so, Father, as we yield today, may we never underestimate the potential that we have if we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he can do. In Jesus' name. As you stand before the Lord today, one of the things that I'm confident in is that when the word goes forth, it never returns back to God empty. It doesn't. When Peter and the disciples were asked after the 5,000 men took their families, they ate the fish and the chips, and Jesus said, "Eat my blood, drink my blood, and eat my flesh," and they said, "We don't go down like that. We don't." And then Jesus said to the disciples, the 12, will you leave too? And then Peter said, where should we go? You have the words of life. And your word is spirit. There's anointing on the word of God. That's why when we use it and people hear it, a seed is planted. Some plant, others water, but what does God do? God gives the increase. The word still works. So as you have listened to the word today, I challenge you to drink from this fountain. Jesus said, if you drink from this fountain, you'll never thirst again. I know you have been hurting. I know people have hurt you. You've been married 5 times and you're living with a man that you're not married to. But I have something that will satisfy you and you'll never thirst again. I have the Spirit of God. Would you trust that Savior who saved this woman because she was looking for love in all the wrong places? You can find true love in Jesus. Would you raise your hand if you know that you need to accept Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Would you say yes to Jesus? Would you say yes? Don't resist the Holy Spirit. You can resist the Holy Spirit. Saul had a new heart, but he kept giving into his flesh. And it caused him at the end of his life, Saul committed suicide with the anointing of God on him. Resisting, the Holy Spirit's been calling you and telling you, give in, give in, give in. Surrender, that's what it means. Not to surrender. Are you here today and you need to surrender your life to Christ? Would you raise your hand right now? This is the day. This is your time. Would you surrender? Don't. It doesn't matter what people think or say. Don't try to convince yourself. The devil is a liar. Oh, church, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. The devil is a liar. Somebody needs to be set free. Jesus, I've come to set the captives free. You don't have to be a captive anymore. Is there one that would say yes? Would you say yes? Holy Spirit, move. Move, Holy Spirit. Are you watching and you haven't made a decision for Christ? Would you say yes? Would you let us know? We will definitely follow up. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christian, but you've never united, or you're not united with a church family. Would you say yes to this church family? We want to love you. We want to support you, and we're going to allow you to help bless us as well. Would you raise your hand right now? Would you raise your hand right now? Final call is, have you walked away from the Lord? Are you living a secret life of sin? And the Bible says that for a Christian who returns to his former life, it's like a dog returning to its vomit. And you know what that means? You're not satisfied in your sin. You're miserable. So you're miserable in both ways. You're miserable because you're walking away from God. You're miserable because what is keeping you from God is keeping you miserable. So if you're here today and you want to return, you want to break free, raise your hand right now. Raise your hand right now. Amen. We're going to have an altar call. I want you to come to the altar right now so we can pray for you. Would you come? Would you come? I'm going to ask Minister Will if he would come and lead us in prayer. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. He's walking without a cane. Hallelujah. Don't tell me what the anointing of God can do. Come on to the altar, church. Come on to the altar. 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 Pray for somebody. Sometimes your intercession will save a family. Abraham's prayer for Lot saved 10 people. Eight saved eight. Who do you need divine covering for through your prayer? Intercession worked. Would you come? Would you come? Is there a family member that doesn't know Jesus? Is there a family member that is living a reckless, dangerous life? Is there a child that is in rebellion? Is there a medical condition that you need healing from? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Amen.